Welcome to a research recap on JP Morgan's Making Sense podcast channel. I'm Ryan Brinkman, head of the U.S. Autos and Auto Parts research team. Today, I'm joined by Jose Asumendi, head of European Auto Research at JP Morgan. And we're here to discuss the automotive sector, particularly the state of the electric vehicle industry. Jose, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast.
Hi, Ryan. Great to be here.
A few weeks ago, the global autos team here at JP Morgan conducted our third annual global BEV survey, where we heard from over 6,000 consumers spread across 8 countries. Jose, can you start us off by highlighting some of your key takeaways from that survey?
Yeah, compared with 2022, we have seen a slight contraction in consumer willingness to purchase a battery electric vehicle globally, with China clearly offsetting the slight decline in intention to purchase a BEV across Europe, Japan, US, and Brazil. However, the proportion of respondents who selected the option to purchase a BEV is higher than the current BEV penetration across each region, suggesting a steady rise in global BEV penetration across regions. The overall intention of purchasing a car in the next 12 months has remained mixed across regions, with a stronger intention observed in China and slight contraction in sentiment across the rest of the regions. I think overall, globally, the price of the electric car and its affordability remains the number one reason to purchase an electric car, with the exception of China and Korea, where respondents clearly selected charging infrastructure as the key to purchase an electric car over the price.
I thought it was interesting what you said just there about how the vehicle purchase intent and willingness to purchase an EV is higher in the different regions than the current penetration rate for EVs, and that gives you good visibility into rising BEV penetration in the future.
That's right. And according to headlines, U.S. car rental companies have reported lower demand for EVs and Hertz are selling a number off from the fleet. Ryan, what do you make of this trend?
Yeah, that's right. When investors first became excited about electric vehicles for the car rental industry was in November of 2021. It was announced that Hertz would buy 100,000 Teslas. And on that news, Tesla shares rose 12%, adding $120 billion to their market capitalization that day. They were already worth $1 trillion. And Hertz rose from $10 billion, up 10%, to $11 billion. So a lot of enthusiasm. And yet, after a couple of years of experimentation, Hertz has lost at least $250 million, maybe $500 million, because they bought these Teslas just before Tesla began cutting the prices very significantly on their new vehicles, hurting the residual value. So it has been a very challenging, the impact of electric vehicles on the rental car industry.
That's very interesting. And Ryan, I agree that electric vehicles are getting some mixed headlines. I think depending on where you're sitting, US, Europe, or Asia, you might have a different perspective on the different headlines and the news we're getting from the companies. From a European perspective, I think there are two things that are worth noting. One is we need to hit emission targets in 2025. And second, despite the mixed headlines we see on electric cars, European car companies such as BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen, also Stellantis, they're definitely on track to launch electric vehicles. And when we look at the electric vehicle penetration in Europe, we see it making specific progress in 23, 24, and 25. So we see BEV penetration in Europe at 15%, in 24 at 17%, and in 25 at 20%. So this steady increase in BEV penetration, we think is something that in the European market, possibly also incentivized by the fact that we have to meet emission targets in 25, but also the wider adoption of car companies basically offering much more affordable electric vehicles, I think it's going to continue to create this steady increasing in BEV penetration in Europe. But also, Ryan, how are the companies in your coverage being impacted by the less than expected increase in BEV penetration?
Yeah, I think GM and Ford have cut back significantly on their investments in this area. Ford has delayed more than $10 billion of R&D and CapEx spending. GM has walked away from their sales volume targets for EVs. I think Rivian is losing more money than was earlier imagined. You know, Ford lost $4.7 billion on EVs in 2023. They thought that they would only lose $3 billion at the start of the year. So it's been tougher for the companies that I cover. I think in the case of GM and Ford, there are some offsets in that maybe they'll sell fewer EVs, but they might sell in their place more internal combustion vehicles. And then when it comes to some of the suppliers, they have some offsets. BorgWarner might sell a little bit more turbochargers if they sell fewer silicon carbide inverters. But in general, for the suppliers, I'm a little worried that they still have to invest for the transition. EVs are still going to happen. They might just happen a little bit later or in lower volume. So they still need to invest in the R&D and the CapEx. And yet there's less electrification revenue to amortize those investments across. But still, there are some offsets, as mentioned. Maybe they can sell more into the internal combustion market. Where I worry the most is the companies that I cover that don't have any offsets, the companies that are only levered to EVs, like Tesla and Rivian, for example. Ford might have lost almost $5 billion on EVs in 2023, but they made $15 billion on everything else because they reported total profits of $10 billion. But where does that leave a company like Rivian, for example, that is losing money on the EVs, but not able to make it up by making profits on internal combustion?
Thank you, Ryan. You just mentioned Rivian and Tesla. Can you comment on the outlook for both companies?
Yeah, sure. So we remain very cautious on both of them. We've been underweight on Tesla for a while, really chiefly on valuation. From day to day, Tesla might be worth $550 billion or $600 billion, and yet is only generating $3, $4 billion of free cash flow. You've got GM and Ford at $45 or $50 billion cap, so not even 10%, yet generating multiples of Tesla's cash flow. GM upwards of $10 billion, Ford in mid to high single digits. So the valuation is very challenging, what is already baked into the base case when it comes to Tesla, but clearly a profitable and solid company. In the case of Rivian, though, we downgraded them because there continues to be questions around their cash flows and liquidity near term. We don't think that they can self-fund all of the growth that they have planned. They did recently announce a pause on the construction of a second assembly plant in Georgia, and that will save them a couple billion dollars, maybe push out when they do need to raise capital. But we think eventually that they will. In the meantime, they guided to no growth in deliveries or in 2024. So it's still a company that is generating large EBITDA and free cash outflows and yet is not growing. Of course, there's a lot of growth on the come with the launch of their next model. That's not until 2026. Maybe turning back to the European car makers, though, you know, it seems they're finding it increasingly difficult to compete with some of the Chinese companies. I see some of them coming to Europe now. It looks like consumers are able to purchase an EV from BYD, maybe 20% less than they would pay for a Volvo, for example. Jose, do you see the Chinese posing a threat to the European car industry?
That's right. And by the way, very interesting comments the ones you provided about the efforts that the US car makers are making in North America, also the transition to electrification. And I think in contrast, when you put both things into perspective, US car makers and European car makers, at the end of the day, they're all global car makers, right? They're all operating globally. But from a P&L perspective, I think it's interesting to see that, you know, the likes of Stellantis, BMW, Mercedes, they are adopting electrification. They are competing in the European market where we have a share of electric cars close to 15%. And definitely they're not making the losses that maybe the companies you cover are generating. It's very interesting, you know, the different strategies the car companies are adopting. And I actually see the European car companies generating in excess of $10 billion free cash flow in the case of the premium car makers, paying solid dividends, doing share buybacks. And maybe, obviously, this transition is yet to be seen how it progresses in the coming years. But so far on paper, we're not seeing the European car makers generating the losses that the US car makers are making on electric cars. And that's something that I think we need to follow and study very closely going forward. And, you know, turning to your question on Chinese car market posing a threat to the European car industry, that is, it's a very important topic that we discuss here with European investors and with global investors. And yes, Chinese car makers such as MG, which is owned by SAIC, and BYD have already taken about 2% of the market share in the European market and a larger share of the electric vehicle market. And we expect that Chinese car companies will continue to enter the European market. And notably, BYD has announced that they will open a plant in Hungary in the next 16 to 18 months. And this will solidify the presence of BYD in the European market with cars. And BYD, as you know, is already present with electric buses in Europe. We think this is obviously a threat. However, I will also note that the European car market has seen the threat of Korean car companies entering the market, such as Kia and Hyundai, and also Toyota. The market is big enough for all the brands to compete. But yes, we're going to have additional Chinese brands taking market share. I think the European car companies are going to compete against the Chinese OEMs, for example, Stellantis, offering affordable electric vehicles like the EC3 Electric, which could be priced at €23,000. and the Renault 5, which we priced at 25,000 euros. The European market is open to an extent for the export of Chinese electric vehicles into the European market. And we're definitely seeing how Chinese brands are taking additional share. Also, I will highlight from our survey, the rising adoption of Chinese electric brands such as BYD and MG is clearly becoming much more evident. And I was surprised when I saw the results, how obviously in China, 28% of respondents were looking to choose the brand BYD or MG. But in Brazil, it was 17%, and in Europe, it's 5%, which is already higher than the market share they currently own. So it's impressive to see the early acceptance of BYD in Brazil. And notably, at the Geneva Auto Show, there were more Chinese car companies presenting cars than European car companies. It was also a situation where some of the European car companies decided not to attend the show, but you could see clearly a strong presence of BYD and MG, which clearly, I think, underpins the efforts they're making to enter the European market.
That's interesting. And given the threat posed by the Chinese manufacturers, what would you say the European manufacturers are doing to keep up with the competition?
Yeah, they're definitely looking to improve the competitiveness of the electric vehicles. When it comes to internal combustion engine vehicles, I think the European car makers are obviously very well positioned, but the competition is clearly in the electric vehicle segment. There are many actions. If we will highlight some of them, I think the first one would be developing in-house or co-developing electric motors with external suppliers to ensure the competitiveness of their EVs, the ramping up battery capacity, in some instances in-house, such as Stellantis and Mercedes-Benz, but also working very closely with external suppliers across Europe. Number three, they're launching competitive electric vehicles in the market. Electric vehicles have been priced above 40,000 euros in the European market. The reality is that European consumers are going to purchase electric vehicles at 25,000 euros. And the consumer in Europe is not going to compromise on the price. The European consumer wants to buy an electric car at 25,000 euros and doesn't want to have any compromises on the range of the car. So that's something that we're going to see, obviously, in the European market, specifically in 2024 and 2025. We're going to have a lot of these affordable electric vehicles coming to the market. And then finally, obviously, in Europe, we have different incentive schemes. We must flag that France has introduced an incentive scheme for electric vehicles for vehicles made in Europe only. Germany has taken out the incentives for electric cars altogether out of the market. And we also have the European Commission has launched an investigation into Chinese electric vehicles made in China, exported from China into Europe. And the results or the outcome of this investigation will come, we expect, in the month of April. So there's many things that are happening from a regulation perspective, from an incentive perspective, and also from the point of view of car makers, at the end of the day, offering competitive electric vehicles in the market.
It's interesting. Thank you. And as we wrap up today's episode, Jose, I'd like to get your thoughts on some of the long-term trends that you expect will shape the future of the auto industry.
So I think the big mega trends for me are unchanged, you know, zero emissions and zero accidents. But we continue to follow very closely the latest developments because obviously we continue to see our car companies, at least under my coverage, continue to surprise me with technology progress that accelerate this transition to zero emissions and zero accidents. In terms of zero emissions, the debate in Europe is definitely heating up because in 2025, European car makers need to meet emission targets, which will obviously guarantee or push for a higher share of electric vehicles in 25 versus what we have now in 2024. And let's not forget about 2035 in Europe, we need to hit the zero emissions. So Europe is clearly on a steady path into full electrification, which will in turn require further reduction in the battery cost, improvement in battery chemistry, optimizing the size of the battery and the range of the car. And then when it comes to serious accidents, the latest development that I've seen is Mercedes-Benz, which has introduced in North America the level 3 autonomous driving on the EQS, which allows for the vehicle to take over the driving of the car on the highway on speeds up to 40 miles per hour and also during high traffic density, which I think is clearly the step in the right direction to enter this race into zero accidents. Ryan, from your perspective, what do you think are the biggest things that you will highlight in the longer term?
I think continued trend toward higher levels of electrification is clearly one of the top themes that I see from my perspective here. And I think that it might take shape a little bit more in the form of plug-in hybrids or hybrid electric vehicles than purely the battery electric vehicles that we thought previously. I think the trend of vertical integration and insourcing and supply chain redundancy, et cetera, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, particularly in light of all of the geopolitical challenges, but also in light of the much higher UAW labor for the automakers here in the US, which can deter some of that. And then the trend in autonomy. what's happening there with the pause in commercial operations of GM Cruise, for example, and you see Apple backing away from autonomous electric vehicles. To what extent is that around the corner? And that has implications for investment in GM versus Ford, et cetera. So really, I think each of these things, the trend in electrification and autonomy and insourcing, those are all top of mind for investors here in the US. Thank you so much for joining me on today's podcast, Jose.
Always a pleasure, Ryan. Thank you so much.
And thank you also to all of our listeners for tuning in. We hope you join us again next time.
Thanks for listening to Research Recap. If you've enjoyed this conversation, we hope you'll review, rate, and subscribe to JP Morgan's Making Sense to stay on top of the latest industry news and trends. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please read JP Morgan Research reports related to its contents for more information, including important disclosures. Copyright 2023, JP Morgan Chase & Co., all rights reserved.